turned on her heel and headed out, away from the council chamber, away from the Jedi, and away from Voss. As she passed Desh, he asked,
"Hey, are you all right?"
Ventress paused.
"No," she said. "And neither is he."
Desh looked at her confused. Ventress continued down the hall, struggling not to break into a run. She was no longer a criminal. She had no need to flee. She heard footsteps behind her and grimaced. She probably shouldn't have said anything to the Moran.
"Desh, I..."
Ventress said, turning, and the words died in her throat. It was Voss.
"Please,"
he said,
"let me talk to you."
Ventress turned away quickly, continuing to stride down the hallway.
"Not interested, clearly. Just for a moment."
He hurried ahead of her, blocking her path. Pain at the movement rolled off him, but not the choking darkness she had sensed before. Ventress came to a stop, and her eyes searched his. There was no hint of ugly yellow or blood red in them, only the warm brown depths in which she had once lost herself. Against her better judgment, she nodded. He jerked his head in the direction of an alcove, and Ventress followed. Voss stared at her, apparently unable to find words now that she had agreed to listen to him.
"Well?"
she snapped.
"I'm so sorry."
Ventress rolled her eyes.
"Not this again,"
she made to shove past him.
"Hey,"
he said, and grabbed her arm. Cold fury shot through her, and she whirled.
"Take your hands off me."
Voss obeyed at once, holding both hands up in a placating gesture.
"Please, I'm begging you. Just hear me out."
Ventress did not try to pass him again, but neither did she look at him. Voss took a deep breath, and she sensed him still struggling for the right words. It was important to him, but she did not know whether it was because he was truly sorry or because he was still trying to trick her. The thought knifed her.
"I made the wrong decision. I should have just seized the chance to escape when you came for me. But I thought if I stayed, I could complete the mission. I never for a moment thought you'd really believe I'd turned. If I've lost you, it wasn't worth it. Nothing would be worth it. I can only hope you can find your way to forgiving me, as I forgave you when you lied to me."
She had, hadn't she? Deliberately and selfishly. Ventress knew in her heart that she could tell herself all she liked that she'd done it for the mission. But that, too, would be a lie.
"Asajj, everything we had was real. It still is. My feelings for you haven't changed."
Despite herself, Ventress's heart leapt. Now she did permit herself to look at him. It was true. She could feel it in the Force. Had she been mistaken? Then her gaze fell on the brown cloak Obi-Wan Kenobi had placed around Voss's shoulders. She had watched the Jedi Council welcome him back. He had said nothing to them about his feelings for her. So in the end, even if it were true, it meant nothing. Ventress reached out and fingered the coarse brown fabric.
"But that is not the Jedi way, is it? You've chosen your path."
She could feel his eyes as she walked away. Tears filled her own. But she didn't look back. Anakin was able to leave the temple and sneak into Padme's apartment at something resembling a reasonable hour. Voss's arrival had thrown everyone into a state, and Anakin was glad of the reprieve. He marched into the living room, where Padme was preparing a light supper for herself, and swept his petite wife into his arms for a long, passionate kiss.
"Anakin!"
Her eyes sparkled with pleasure as he gently placed her down. He grinned. His name, when spoken by her lips, was the sweetest music in the galaxy.
"Were you expecting someone else?"
he teased. Padme punched his chest playfully.
"I was expecting my husband, but not so early. I'm glad.
He poured them both a glass of wine, and they sat on the couch while Anakin filled her in on what had happened with Voss. He took creative license with the part about Voss being sent to assassinate Dooku. He was pretty sure a senator would not approve of such an action, and so modified assassinate to capture. Chancellor Palpatine had not been informed either. The mission was deemed to be Jedi business. Anakin wasn't sure that was the right call. It felt wrong to him for the Jedi Order to keep secrets from the Chancellor. But the decision, like so many others, was out of his hands. Padme had met Voss on occasion, but she was not as familiar with him as she was with some of the other Jedi, so the whole story was new to her. She listened raptly, her brown eyes wide. And when he'd finished, she sighed sadly.
What do you think about all this?
It's a mess, Anakin said, shaking his head. I was against the idea of Ventress being involved at all, but nobody asked my opinion.
But you said neither you nor Obi-Wan sensed that he had gone dark. Why do you think Ventress did?
It's pretty clear she seduced him, Anakin said. She's kind of like that.
And how would you know?
Padme tried to look serious, but couldn't quite hide a smile. Anakin loved that expression of playfulness, so rarely on his serious wife's face. He brushed back a lock of her brown hair.
Rumor has it, he said, unable to resist adding. You should see how she flirts with Obi-Wan when they're swinging lightsabers at each other.
His humor faded.
If Voss did go to the dark side, I'm pretty sure it's her fault. She as much as admitted that she wanted him to be stronger, but he couldn't handle it. Voss should never have gotten involved with her.
You said Ventress seemed genuinely upset.
She was. First time I've seen a real emotion out of her that didn't involve removing someone's body parts. But it doesn't matter. A Jedi isn't supposed to...
Anakin's flow of words slowed as he realized how hypocritical he sounded. Padme was watching him with a slightly wry smile, but her eyes were kind.
We're different, he said. We're in love.
Padme ran a small hand along his cheek.
Yes, we are,
she said.
And maybe they are too.
Ventress isn't capable of anything as selfless as love,
Anakin scoffed.
And Voss couldn't possibly have cared about a murderess like her. Besides, she's the one who took him to the dark side in the first place.
Padme shrugged.
Stranger things have happened, she said. And maybe, if she loves him, she's his way back from it.
Anakin found he had no response to that.
Chapter 31 Big day today for Quinlan,
Desh said, falling into step with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker.
Indeed, Kenobi said. But I'm not terribly concerned about it. Voss has performed well on the smaller assignments the Council has given him. I've no doubt they'll pronounce him fit to take on more important ones.
Desh nodded, but he looked somewhat troubled.
Something on your mind, Jedi Akkar? Kenobi asked.
The Moran hesitated, then said,
When she left, Ventress seemed to think that there was something wrong with Master Voss, and he's been avoiding me. I can tell.
Kenobi sighed.
It doesn't surprise me to learn that Voss might be avoiding people he'd been particularly close with, having realized the damage attachment can cause. I'm sure it's nothing you've done. As for Ventress, she and Voss were, entangled. I think she was disappointed that he chose the Jedi and not her. She kept insisting that Dooku had turned him, but no one, not I, not Anakin, nor anyone on the Council, has seen or sensed anything that leads us to believe she was correct. Ventress's emotions colored her perception. That's all.
Or else she's just flat out lying,
Anakin put in.
I mean, come on. This is Asajj Ventress we're talking about.
I prefer to give her the benefit of the doubt, Kenobi said.
You always take the high road, Master Kenobi, said Desh.
He looked relieved.
Well, I will miss knocking back drinks with Voss and reminiscing about old times. But if the trade-off is that we have him back, alive and well, there's no question that it's a minor price to pay.
Anakin, you and Desh can wait outside if you wish. I think this is one council meeting that won't take particularly long.
Even as he had gently chided Desh for his affection toward Voss, Kenobi knew that he himself had not been impartial. It was difficult not to like Voss, even when one wished to strangle him. He reminded himself that he would have done the same for any Jedi.
Master Kenobi,
Yoda greeted him.
A happy duty to discharge, we do. Tell us of Master Voss, if you will.
With pleasure, Master Yoda. I sent you all the 2-1-B's reports on Voss's physical condition. He will have scars, but over the last month he has healed physically.
And otherwise?
Asked Plo Koon.
Dooku has broken others ere now. A former Jedi Master would understand our weaknesses better than any other enemy.
I cannot deny the truth of your statement, Kenobi admitted. Voss was wounded in spirit as well. It was for this reason that I have spent so much time in his company, and been the one to supervise his missions. But I doubt if any of us could say any differently had we been in Dooku's prison cell. I've seen nothing that makes me think that Quinlan Voss succumbed to the pull of the dark side, if indeed he ever really ventured there at all.
It's our understanding that Asajj Ventress felt that he did, Mace Windu said.
Kenobi hesitated. Voss had never spoken of Ventress to him, except when directly asked. He was loath to place doubt if no one else knew what he did, but Kenobi felt that total honesty was the only way to truly restore Voss's reputation. Kenobi told Windu what he had said to Desh a few moments before, that he suspected the Jedi Master and the former Sith had been involved, but that it was clear that Voss had chosen the Jedi over Ventress, and she had mistaken his rejection of her for a descent into the darkness. Most of the other Masters nodded as he spoke, but Windu frowned.
Asajj Ventress isn't a good person to develop feelings for.
Are we certain she didn't just turn him over to Dooku?
Voss says no, Kenobi replied.
During their joint attack on Dooku, they were forced to fight both him and Grievous, as well as dozens of droids. In the end, they were simply outnumbered. I will remind the Council that Ventress even attempted a rescue mission at a later point, but failed to recover Voss.
Because Voss didn't want to go with her, said Mace.
Master Voss has explained what happened several times, Kenobi replied. He's not hiding anything. He stumbled, yes, but he did not fall.
Made his choice now, he has. And a wise one, it is,
Yoda said.
Painful, though it was. Satisfied, I am, with what I am hearing.
The others echoed Yoda's words, all except for Windu.
I would prefer we give him another month, just to be certain.
With all due respect, Master Windu, Kenobi said, Voss has been in a unique position. For a time he convinced Dooku that he was on the Count's side, that he could be trusted. He's learned so much and reported it all to us. Going forward, we can use that knowledge as we strategize.
I agree. But Voss doesn't have to be in the field.
But if he is there, he will be able to react immediately with any knowledge he has that we don't,
Shaak Ti said.
I feel he is ready to be sent on a more delicate mission.
Windu looked troubled, but he bowed his head.
I yield to the will of the Council. Send for him.
A few moments later, Master Quinlan Voss appeared before the Jedi Council. Kenobi thought of how he had looked a few short weeks ago. Malnourished, pale, bleeding, and brokenhearted. His healthy color had returned, and he now moved without any hint of pain. Quinlan Voss looked every bit the Jedi Master he was. Perhaps, mused Kenobi, This ordeal had, in a perverse way, been exactly what Voss needed to temper his occasional excessive enthusiasm.
"Performed well you have, Master Voss,"
Yoda said.
"Thank you, Master Yoda,"
Voss said, bowing.
"I want you all to know I understand why you have been so hesitant about putting me back in the field.
I'd have done the same thing to anyone who'd spent months in the tender loving care of Count Dooku."
"Satisfied we are,"
Yoda said.
"A task for you we have."
"I am more than ready to serve you with all my ability," Voss said.
Mace Windu pressed a button on his chair. The hologram of an asteroid appeared in the center of the room.
"We've gotten a tip on the location of a Separatist supply storage base."
Voss tried and failed not to look disappointed.
"Of course, as the Council wishes."
"This is no little matter, Master Voss,"
Ki-Adi Mundi said.
"The base is massive and concealed in the interior of this asteroid. Our intel says it contains medications, arms, ship repair materials, and foodstuffs. If we can take this base, we can get vital supplies to worlds that are in desperate need."
"And deny them to the Separatists,"
Mace added.
"Did Dooku mention anything like this to you, Voss?"
Voss thought for a minute.
"He did say something about a supply base once, but I thought it was on a planet. Maybe Hoth?"
"We're pretty certain it's here," Windu said.
"I'm sure there's more than one such base,"
Voss conceded.
"Master Kenobi, Master Voss, you two will lead this mission," Windu continued. "Take two other Jedi with you, as many clones as you think necessary to transport the supplies. It looks like any defense you will encounter will be sparse. I think Dooku was relying on the obscurity of the location to keep it secret. But you should go in prepared for a fight, just in case this hidden base has some hidden fighters."
"Understood," Kenobi said. "With the Council's permission, I'd like to take Skywalker and Dakar Deshu with us."
"Of course," Windu said.
He addressed both Kenobi and Voss, but Obi-Wan noticed his gaze lingered on the other Jedi.
"Gentlemen, these supplies could potentially help us save thousands of lives. It's not a glamorous assignment, but it's a vital one. May the Force be with you."
"I can see why Dooku thought no one would spot this as a base,"
Anakin said.
"It looks just like a big rock."
"That's pretty much what an asteroid is, yes,"
Desh said. He, Anakin, Kenobi, and Voss were all in their own ETA-2 Actus-class interceptors heading toward the asteroid. Certain materials in the asteroid's composition had rendered it impossible for sensors to detect whether anything or anyone was inside it, so a visual inspection was necessary.
"All right, everyone ready for our first pass?" Kenobi asked.
"Let's do this," Voss exclaimed,
clearly happy to be, as he had said to Kenobi, sprung from his cage.
"More than ready,"
Desh said. At that moment, half a dozen droid starfighters emerged from the asteroid's interior.
"Oh, hey, look at that," Anakin said. "I think we found the right place."
"We're outnumbered 2-1,
Desh said.
"This'll be easy."
Even as he spoke, Anakin had swooped down on one of the starfighters, scoring a hit. The damaged ship spiraled out of control and then exploded. Kenobi jigged and jagged as two latched onto his tail.
"I'm on it," Voss said, coming up behind the two.
Kenobi pulled up and back, executing a loop and firing while upside down. He struck his target squarely, and Voss took care of the second one.
"Three down, three to go," said Anakin. "Watch this."
"Anakin!"
Kenobi cautioned, then added under his breath,
"Why do I even bother?"
Anakin flew over two of the ships and fired on each one, then came around beneath the third. He fired on it as well. Like Anubis that had spotted a jackrab, the three fighters set off in hot pursuit. Kenobi, Voss, and Desh brought up the rear and picked off the last three.
That was not nearly enough fun, Anakin lamented.
Let's just be glad it was only 6 and not a dozen more, Voss said.
Master Voss, you disappoint me, Anakin chided. You're as dull as Master Kenobi.
Now, let's not exaggerate, Kenobi said, permitting himself a small smile.
I think we're safe now.
Fall into single-file formation, and we'll fly over it slowly and carefully.
Somewhat to his surprise, they obeyed. And then, in the shadows of a concavity, Kenobi saw the entrance. It was large enough to admit a medium-sized transport, and the single-person interceptors had no trouble negotiating it. The tunnel was long and curving, but it widened as the Jedi maneuvered around a bend and entered an enormous cavern. Abruptly, the chamber flooded with light. Kenobi realized that they had probably passed through an environmental field, and the grotto would therefore be able to suit humanoid life. The light illuminated crate after crate of various supplies and caught the gleaming curves of metallic ship parts. Anakin whistled.
Okay, Master Windu had good intel. You lost this round, Master Voss.
I'm delighted to be wrong, Voss replied. Look at all this.
We're going to have to requisition more transports, but I think that's a problem we're grateful to have, Kenobi said.
They brought their ships down onto a vast landing pad that would easily accommodate the 3 transports they had brought and had room for several more. The 4 Jedi hopped out of their vessels and paused for a moment to simply take it all in.
This is going to help a lot of people, Voss said.
And, put in Desh, make Dooku gnash his teeth when word gets out that we now have control of it.
Enough patting ourselves on the back, Kenobi said. Let's get to work.
Chapter 32
Desh returned to the Jedi light cruiser to inform the clones that they could bring in the transports. Kenobi, Voss, and Anakin looked around, and then at one another.
I hardly know where to begin, Anakin said.
Kenobi stroked his beard.
It is rather intimidating. Fortunately, it's not our task to catalog or distribute the items. All we have to do is assist the clones in getting the supplies onto the transports.
If I may, Voss said, I'll leave you two in charge of that. I'd like to have a look around. I've got a hunch that there might be something more valuable here than food, a few blasters, and spare parts. Something that Dooku might have stashed here for safekeeping?
Guessed Skywalker.
Got it in one.
And you're the one to recognize something like that when you see it, Kenobi said, nodding in approval. All I have to say to that request is good hunting.
I'll find the end of all this and work my way back. I'll let you know how deep the cavern extends.
I think you just want to get out of doing the grunt work, Anakin grumbled.
You're giving all the right answers today, Anakin,
Voss grinned. Kenobi watched for a moment as the other master paused, then shrugged and picked a direction, vanishing through one of the narrow spaces between the tightly packed crates and equipment.
What now?
Anakin asked.
We move crates.
I was afraid you'd say that.
They set to work. Voss checked in after a few moments, letting them know that he was already about 1,000 meters in with no end yet in sight. Desh returned, followed by the 3 transports. Clone Commander Cody, Kenobi's Clone Marshal Commander, jumped out of the first one.
This will be much less exciting than a battle, I fear, Commander, Kenobi told the clone leader.
That as may be, sir, but I reckon that we can do with less excitement if it means more lives saved,
Cody said.
Come on, boys, let's get to it. How far back does this stretch anyway, sir?
Master Voss reports the distance at nearly 1,000 meters, so far.
Rex, the clone trooper captain who served under Skywalker, whistled.
We've got our work cut out for us, then.
We'll be able to help you with the heavier items, Kenobi said.
He gestured to a deck cannon, then closed his eyes and settled himself, feeling for the essence of the weapon in the Force. When he found it, he visualized it rising. Light as a feather, as air, as nothing at all.
He extended his arms in front of him and raised them, palms up. When he opened his eyes, the cannon hovered in midair. Smiling softly, Kenobi moved his right hand, maneuvering the cannon to settle in the transport hold.
"Well, sir,"
Cody said,
"looks like we can knock off and let you Jedi handle this."
"Not quite," Desh said. "Many hands make light work."
"But Jedi hands make work light,"
another clone trooper, Jesse, said, eliciting a groaning laugh from some of the other clones, even as he set to work with Cody to begin moving crates into the transport. Kenobi's comlink chirped.
"Voss, what's your status? Find any..."
"Kenobi!"
Voss's voice was taut with tension.
"Get the men on the transports and get them out of here! The rest of you too, right now!"
"What's going on?" Kenobi was calm, alert.
"Bombs,"
Voss replied.
"They rigged this whole place to blow."
"Voss," Desh said. "How many? Any chance we could disarm them?"
"Negative,"
Voss said.
"There are at least six of them, and they're all set to detonate in about 3 minutes. Go, now!"
"How is that possible?" Anakin asked. "They didn't know we were coming."
"The droids must have set them before they attacked," Kenobi said. "They probably thought they'd deal with whatever was out there and then disarm them upon their return."
"And if they didn't return," Desh said grimly, "the items wouldn't fall into enemy hands."
"We can worry about the hows and whys later,"
Voss said.
"But right now, you need to get the hell off this asteroid."
At a nod from Kenobi, Cody started shouting to his men. They hurried back and jumped into the transports. The first one to close its doors lifted off and flew back down the tunnel to open space and safety.
"All right. Two transports are on the way out," Kenobi said to Voss. To Desh and Anakin, he said, "Get in your interceptors."
"But..."
Desh began.
"That is an order, Jedi Akar. You too, Anakin. Go."
The two cast a last worried look over their shoulders, then sprinted for their vessels. The final transport had lifted off and had disappeared down the tunnel toward open space.
"You too, Kenobi,"
came Voss's voice.
"I'll just stretch my legs till you get here."
"Damn it, Obi-Wan! You've only got about a minute!"
"Then you'd best hurry, hadn't you?"
"Obi-Wan!"
"Stop talking and focus on running."
Kenobi jumped into his interceptor, prepped it for immediate takeoff, and settled in to wait. The seconds ticked by. 50 seconds. 40. 35. The figure of Quinlan Voss hurtled over a pile of crates marked as ammunition. Relief surged through Kenobi. He touched the controls, and the ETA interceptor lifted off. Glancing back, he saw Voss's ship do the same.
22.
The Jedi took the curves of the tunnel at top speed. Kenobi reached out into the Force, sensing the walls and the path ahead, and leaning his body and his ship into them. He shot out of the tunnel with Voss barely a ship's length behind him. He did not slow, but kept going at top speed, putting as much distance between him and the asteroid before it. Kenobi squinted as a bright yellow-orange fireball rolled out of the tunnel, casting stark shadows through the cockpit viewport. When he could see clearly again, he realized that the asteroid was still intact, though obscured by black smoke billowing out from the entrance. While he was grateful that there had been no loss of life, the sight pained him nonetheless. All those supplies, food, weaponry, medical equipment, up quite literally in smoke. Well, perhaps not all.
"Jedi Akar," Kenobi said, "I'd like for you to keep a single transport here and supervise the loading of any salvageable debris. Since the explosion didn't crack the asteroid, it's possible that much of it is still contained in the cavern."
"Yes, Master Kenobi,"
Desh replied, though Obi-Wan detected a note of resignation in the Moran's voice.
"Let's hope there's something left of use."
"Indeed. Voss, Anakin, let's head back to Coruscant."
Ventress sat at a bar in Pantora, swirling her glass. She had known from the minute she walked in that coming back here, to the same bar where she and Voss had embarked on their partnership had been a bad idea. She could kick herself now for yielding to the impulse. Somehow, she'd talked herself into thinking that seeing the place again would strip it of the power it had over her and become just another bar. The opposite had been the case. But now that she was here, Ventress figured she could at least try to drown her pain in the thick, bitter liquid and then sleep it off somewhere. She tossed back the shot and gestured to the bartender for a refill. Then she stiffened. Surely it was just the memory that was making her think that...
Ventress?
She pressed her lips tightly together.
So now you're stalking me?
Voss slid into the seat in front of her. He looked more subdued than she had ever seen him. It wasn't a good look on him.
I came here for, I think, the same reason you did.
She laughed humorlessly.
To try to erase me from your memory?
No. His voice was quiet, without the desperate pleading she'd heard from him before. He waited, as if expecting her to order him away again, but Ventress was too soul-weary of it all to fight with him. Voss signaled to the bartender.
I'll have what she's having. You won't like it,
Ventress assured him. The bartender plunked a glass and a bottle in front of him. Voss poured a shot and downed it.
Immediately, he began to cough. Oh, and you're right.
He wheezed, tears coming out of his eyes.
You're right.
His cough turned into a choking laugh. For an instant, Ventress caught a glimpse of the Voss she had grown to care for so deeply.
I'm always right, she said.
Why was she smiling into her glass?
Not always, he said.
Ventress froze, abruptly realizing that she was not sensing the dark side pouring off him anymore. Why?
I can't trust him, she thought. I can't trust this. No,
she said.
I was right about you, wasn't I?
She looked him dead in the eye, extending her feelings into the force. There was still darkness in him, but it was different. It was human, what she would expect from anyone who had been tortured emotionally and physically, what she would expect from someone whose heart was breaking. Voss didn't answer at once. He frowned into the empty glass, turning it in his fingers. He didn't look at her when he answered.
Yes, you were.
She shoved the chair back and stood.
I'm done here.
Voss peered up at her.
Were? And I suppose you're all better now?
No. It was the truth. Ventress could tell. Voss continued.
When you came back for me, it was right after I'd held Tholm's lightsaber. Right after you experienced me murdering him.
Ventress stated it bluntly.
He nodded. I was reeling. I'd been starved, beaten, deprived of sleep, injected with things that... Massage, you were my anchor. Thoughts of you, of us, kept me sane. But when I felt Tholm...
Voss couldn't bring himself to say the word.
After that, I thought that everything between us had been a lie. So yes, I let the dark side in. And that's what you saw in my eyes.
Voss again looked down into his glass. Slowly, Ventress resumed her seat and waited.
For a while, I admit it, I did help Dooku. But then I began to understand what it must have been like for you as his apprentice. The kind of lessons you were learning from him. He was trying to teach me those same lessons. But you decided you didn't want to be like him. And I wasn't angry at you anymore. Just like that. You saw and felt me gut a man who had surrendered to me. The Jedi who was your beloved master. And then suddenly it's all right.
Voss shook his head.
No,
Not suddenly, but it did happen. It helped me shore up my resolve to not give in to the darkness anymore. I wanted what we had. What we were going to have. Together. We had a future.
Had being the operative word.
Her own anger and pain were returning.
We can still have it.
Ventress shook her head. She downed another shot of the bitter drink, letting it fuel her.
Impossible. Not after everything that's happened.
I forgave you for killing Tholm and for lying to me. And you will forgive me, too. One day. Asajj Ventress.
He hesitated and took a breath.
That's what you do for the one you love.
He wasn't lying.
Ventress could feel it in the Force. Quinlan Vos was truly in love with her. Joy and pain bombarded her simultaneously. For a moment, Ventress was so stunned, she couldn't respond.
Why had he said this now, when...
Love,
she said, having difficulty speaking the word,
is not a part of your world anymore. You're back with the Jedi now. They would never allow it.
Vos leaned forward. All the earnestness, the hope that had been absent just a few moments before returned in full force. When you turned me away, I did go back to them, yes. I tried to be a Jedi again. I really did. But I don't belong there anymore.
Asajj, I belong with you.
Are you telling me that you're willing to leave the Order?
She had to hear it, explicitly to believe it. It had been one thing when they were alone together on Dathomir, to talk about leaving the Jedi. Vos's life with them had been so far away, and it would have been easy for the two of them to simply disappear. But he had been welcomed back with relief and, Ventress had to admit, affection. His gaze was locked with hers.
Yes, I am. There are a few more things I can do to help them destroy Dooku. I think I owe them that much. But once that's done, I'm yours. If you'll have me. For answer, Ventress stretched out her hand.
Vos took it in both of his, kissed it, and pressed it to his heart.
Chapter 33. Mr. Vos,
said Yoda,
for your actions, grateful we are. Saved many lives you have.
Thank you, Master Yoda, Vos replied. But it was what any Jedi would have done. It's Jedi Akkar who deserves your thanks. He's the one who gets to sort through the mess.
Amusement rippled through the gathering. Kenobi noted that the tension was gone. The nearly imperceptible aura of mistrust that had filled the council chamber every time Quinlan Vos was present now seemed conspicuous in its absence.
The council believes that you are ready to once again fight against the Separatists, Windu said to Vos. Though that is not the primary purpose of this mission. Our intel indicates that Count Dooku has placed a listening station on Vancor.
Kenobi made a sour face. He and Anakin had once been stranded there while in pursuit of Dooku. Anakin had been unfortunate enough to have a second bad experience there when he and Windu had been trapped beneath the rubble of a crashed ship. Both events had involved the huge four-armed predators known as Gundarks, and Kenobi was none too keen to return. All eyes turned to the hologram of the brown, rocky world.
Vancor, mused Kenobi. Charming place. Delightful fauna. Did Dooku ever tell you anything about this station, Vos?
Vos frowned, thinking.
The Count kept his cards pretty close to his vest, he said. He never did trust me entirely. But I do recall something about a listening post in that sector. If you're confident on your intel, I'd say that this is the one Dooku was talking about.
Then Master Vos, Master Kenobi, your job is to take it out, said Windu. Depending on how key this site is, you may be met with a large welcoming party. Plan accordingly.
As Voss and Kenobi left the chamber, Anakin joined them. Why do you always assume you're on the same mission we are? Voss asked.
Because I always am,
Anakin replied.
Sadly, there's no countering that argument,
Voss said wryly.
Now that that's settled, Anakin continued, what's our mission?
To destroy a listening post, Voss said. We should be prepared to be fired upon.
Anakin looked at Kenobi, confused.
Our listening posts don't have a lot of defenses, he reminded them. They rely on the fleet coming the second the all-clear signal stops being transmitted.
That's because we put lives on the line, Voss said.
For us, the best allocation of resources works out to the fewest men at the station, with plenty of help on call in a real emergency.
Dooku has more than enough droids to have them provide adequate defense at all times.
Droids only? Kenobi inquired.
There will be a few people stationed there to supervise and make gut-check judgment calls, Voss said. But the defense will almost certainly be droids. We should be prepared for a good fight. I know I'm itching for one.
Sounds like everything is back to normal with you, Voss, Anakin said. I'm glad.
So am I, Anakin, Voss said.
So am I. Kenobi, Voss, and Anakin were in their interceptors when the Vigilants came out of hyperspace and the hangar doors opened. They, along with 24 of the heavily armed ARC-170 starfighters, the initial wave, launched at once, soaring out into space, ready for battle. There was not a single fighter present to offer resistance. As they descended toward Vancor and their target, they remained unchallenged.
Kinda quiet here,
Anakin said over his comlink.
You know, the peaceful silence of space, with nothing happening at all.
I agree, Kenobi said. Where was the defense Voss had warned about? Dooku's forces should have launched their attack immediately.
Do you suppose it's a trap?
Anakin asked.
Think they're waiting for us to penetrate the atmosphere and launch a ground attack?
That seems a very poor tactic if it's so, Kenobi said. But nevertheless, something's not right here.
Tapping the controls, he zoomed in on the planet's surface. Master Windu's intel was spot on about the listening post, however. He opened a channel to the attack cruiser.
Admiral Block, we're going to go ahead and descend. We're prepared to encounter resistance from the ground.
Of course, General Kenobi,
the Admiral said.
Do you wish the second wave to launch?
Yes, go ahead, Kenobi said. Better safe than sorry.
He changed the comm channel to address his team.
It's far too still for my liking. There may indeed be a trap. We go in expecting hostile fire.
That's more like it, said Anakin.
As usual, the boy was all on fire to be out in front and in the thick of the action. The Force, Kenobi mused, had to be protecting him. Otherwise, Anakin's impulsiveness would have gotten him killed 1,000 times over.
Remember, Kenobi said, there's no room for rash decisions. Stay the course. That means you, Anakin. No fancy maneuvers.
In response, Skywalker's ship suddenly dropped and executed a loop.
Sorry, Master Kenobi. You're breaking up. I think something might be wrong with my comm link.
Anakin!
Some say I'm reckless. Others would say I have guts. It's subjective.
Anakin, who clearly had nothing at all wrong with his comm link, said.
It's really not. Voss laughed.
You two kids never change.
More elegantly than his former apprentice, Kenobi tilted the nose of his interceptor down. The surface rushed up to meet them. He glanced at his readout, then used his own eyes and the Force. Listening posts were precious things. The Republic had a fleet ready to defend them at a moment's notice, and, according to Voss, Dooku kept sufficient defense on site. The design was similar to the Republic's. A simple station with a large tower to which a dish was affixed.
unlike Republic stations, which had a single, rather small landing pad, the area around this post was clearly designed to accommodate several vessels. Voss was right. There should have been at least a few dozen fighters to safeguard the post. And yet, it looked...
It's abandoned,
Voss said.
Not a single ship.
It does look that way, Kenobi said. But we should be cautious nonetheless. Let's try a strafing run and see if we can flush any hiding jackrabs.
The three Jedi brought their vessels into formation. Anakin actually cooperated by taking his place on Kenobi's left and letting Obi-Wan have the lead. The clones fell in behind them in their ARC-170s. Obi-Wan, Voss, and Anakin all fired their laser cannon simultaneously. A fireball wrapped in black smoke plumed upward. The mammoth dish cracked and tumbled in pieces to the ground. The clones followed with a second attack. Blue laser fire screamed, and this time the tower itself crumbled beneath the assault. The group veered upward and came about for another pass.
Hold your fire, everyone, Kenobi said. Let's see what reaction we get.
They flew over again, but there was no movement on the ground. No ships, no vehicles, no people, not even droids. Nothing.
Scans indicate no life forms,
Anakin said, adding,
Well, none larger than a literal jackrab. Hey, no Gundarks this time. Master Kenobi, I'd like to go down there and see what we can find,
came Voss's voice.
We kind of just obliterated it with laser cannons, Voss,
said Anakin.
Not a whole lot left that would be of any use to us. Not to you,
Voss said.
But maybe I can get some answers.
A few moments later, they and the clones were on the ground.
Commander Cody, Obi-Wan ordered. Have your squadron break down into teams and do some scouting. This place looks empty, but it may not be.
Yes, sir,
Cody said. Over his shoulder, he shouted,
Come on, you lot! You heard the general!
He began giving instructions.
Well, said Kenobi, as Anakin pointed out, the tower itself is demolished at this point. Let's see if we can find some barracks that are still somewhat intact.
The three Jedi leapt easily over the major chunks of rubble blocking the path to the station's operations center and living quarters. As they stepped carefully amid the debris, Anakin said,
While I'm always pleased to not see bodies, I kinda miss the droid parts.
Voss picked up a small chunk of blasted console and closed his eyes. A few seconds later, he opened them, looking irritated.
This is useless, he said. It's all been too damaged. We need something more personal, and mostly intact.
I'm guessing the living quarters are located below ground, Kenobi said.
He tapped his bracer to activate his comlink.
Commander, have any of your squad members located another entrance?
Yes, sir. We did indeed.
Cody gave them the coordinates. The entrance was several meters from the tower, well hidden by the boulders that were a common feature in the area. A quick scan revealed that the structural integrity of the tunnels was still intact. The Jedi activated their lightsabers as a precaution against any possible remaining droids, illuminating the metal corridors with soft blue-green radiance. A series of doors lined the path. At each one, they cut their way in and peered about.
Storage, said Kenobi.
Most of the rooms were bare, save for the occasional small piece of equipment or an empty crate.
This place looks like it could have been abandoned for years.
No.
Voss bent over and picked up a curved piece of metal.
This is a repair part for a B-3. Whatever happened here, it's recent.
After a time, the path sloped upward, and they came to a sealed metal door. Kenobi cut through it, and the three Jedi emerged into an area that had 6 beds and very little else.
Well, Anakin said, I think this is the best we're going to find. Can you get anything off a bedpost, Voss?
I've got something better.
Voss replied. Grinning, he held up a comb.
Nothing too exciting, but it'll do.
He wrapped his fingers around the item, closed his eyes for a moment, then opened them.
That's it? Anakin asked.
That's it, Voss said. He looked annoyed. They bugged out about 2 weeks ago. Dooku wasn't about to take chances that I'd lead you here, and sent orders to abandon the post.
I don't suppose someone happened to mention where the new post would be located.
Voss shook his head.
I think anything useful went up with the tower. Important orders wouldn't be discussed in the barracks. I could try everything here if you'd like.
Kenobi clapped his friend on the back.
Don't worry, Voss. This was bound to happen.
Voss shook his head, still irritated.
Well, it means that pretty much any information I learned while I was with Dooku is now moot.
Hey, we've got you back, Anakin said. That's more important.
Kenobi rubbed his chin thoughtfully.
I wonder if that's all that's going on here.
What do you mean?
Voss asked.
Well, it does make sense that Dooku would change things up a bit. Anything you knew could be used against him. But it does seem strange that this has happened twice in a row. I can't help but wonder if we might have a leak.
Voss frowned.
A leak? You think there's someone feeding the Separatists information?
I wouldn't say that's too far out of the realm of possibility,
Anakin said.
It's happened before, unfortunately. Whatever it is, we'll deal with it back at the temple. Master Yoda will know what to do.
It's certainly an unsettling thought, Kenobi said. We have to hope that this is simple coincidence.
Anything else you can get from the comb?
He asked Voss.
Well, Voss replied, its owner used to flex in the mirror when he thought no one was watching.
Chapter 34.
Kenobi requested a private audience with the two people he could absolutely trust, Yoda and Mace Windu. He outlined the circumstances of both missions and put forth his concerns.
There's nothing that decisively points to a leak, he finished. It could be coincidence, or a simple and predictable result of Voss turning his back on Dooku.
Examine everything we must,
Yoda said.
Correct to bring this to us, you were, Obi-Wan.
This doesn't feel right to me. I think there's more going on here than coincidence,
he grimaced.
I think there's a chance that Voss isn't fully rehabilitated. I did express my concern that we might be putting him back in the field too quickly.
Voss?
Kenobi exclaimed.
With respect, Master Windu, I think you may be jumping to some rather unfounded conclusions. I've seen or felt nothing that indicated that, and I've known him well for years.
With respect, Master Kenobi, Windu snapped. It's precisely because you've known him so long that I worry your judgment is clouded by your friendship.
I saw firsthand what Dooku did to him,
Kenobi said, bridling slightly.
Don't you think I was alert for any signs?
Let's look at the facts. Nothing like this has happened for quite some time, until his very first mission directly against the Separatists. When suddenly, a tremendous amount of valuable supplies blows up.
It's a logical thing for the Separatists to have done,
Kenobi pointed out.
Saved your lives, Voss did with his warning. Escape in time, he himself almost did not.
Kenobi nodded his thanks to Yoda.
All that is true, Windu agreed. What is also true is that Voss was the one who very conveniently spotted the bombs. Today we attack a Separatist listening post to discover that it's been abandoned, and the only one who can tell us exactly why those orders were issued happens to be Quinlan Voss.
Come now, Mace, Kenobi protested. This is all a bit far-fetched and overly dramatic, don't you think?
If Voss is indeed a traitor, why is he not leading us into ambushes? He could destroy thousands of the enemy at one go.
So obvious. A well-positioned traitor would not be,
Yoda said thoughtfully.
Too much attention it would draw.
Kenobi turned to Yoda, his heart sinking. You too, Master Yoda? We need proof.
We can't call a man a traitor just because we don't like what we're seeing.
Speaks the truth, Master Kenobi does. Evidence we must find.
Now I wish we had looked harder at the listening post debris, Kenobi said.
Why?
Windu asked.
If Voss is indeed a traitor, he will make sure that anything you find corroborates what he wants us to think.
Return to that site we could. But eyes we have on another one already.
The asteroid, said Kenobi. I've been checking in with Desh, but thus far he's reported nothing out of the ordinary.
With some trepidation, he activated his holocom, and a small image of Desh appeared.
Master Kenobi!
Desh bowed slightly, adding hopefully,
I don't suppose you're reassigning me.
We need you right where you are, Desh, Kenobi said. I'm with Master Yoda and Master Windu in the council chamber. What I'm about to tell you must remain confidential.
Of course,
Desh replied, though his ears twitched in concern.
It's possible, even likely, that we have a leak.
A leak? Not a Jedi?
Desh's ears flattened.
A Jedi, Kenobi confirmed, adding, or another party who is privy to sensitive information. We're gathering evidence at the moment. Have you run across anything unusual in your sorting through the debris?
Kenobi's heart sank at Desh's hesitation.
Well, sir, now that you mention it, there was something. We didn't think much of it at the time.
Kenobi looked at his fellow masters bleakly as he asked, What is it?
There were some Republic-made items among the debris. It's not unknown for Separatists to use whatever they can find, but we're pretty sure that the bombs were not Confederacy issue, which means they got their hands on some of ours.
Kenobi felt the blood draining from his face.
And you didn't see fit to report this?
Snapped Windu. Yoda lifted a calming hand.
My apologies, Master Windu. As I say, this happens in war. We do it too. A blaster's a blaster, and a bomb's a bomb, after all. One is the same as another.
Except when it isn't, Kenobi thought, sickened.
Thank you, Desh. We'll be in touch.
So, Windu said, now we know. Voss planted those bombs.
We don't know anything yet, Kenobi retorted. If we're going to brand a man a traitor and destroy his life, it must hinge on what we can prove.
Correct, Master Kenobi is,
Yoda said solemnly.
Another line of inquiry I alone will pursue. But if proof we find, a painful task we will have before us.
When 2 days later, Obi-Wan received a summons to Yoda's private quarters, he steeled himself to not give in to either hope or despair. He mentally repeated the Jedi code to calm himself. There is no emotion, there is peace. There is no ignorance, there is knowledge. There is no passion, there is serenity. There is no chaos, there is harmony.
There is no death.
There is the Force. It helped. He was in control of his emotions by the time he reached Yoda's door and entered. Yoda was, as usual, seated by the fountain crafted of singing stones. The familiar scents of the heated oils teased Kenobi's nostrils as he sank down beside his old master.
You summoned me, Master Yoda? He asked quietly.
Is this regarding Quinlan?
Is there news?
Yoda had not been meditating, but he had been regarding the fountain's flow. Now he turned to Kenobi. He did not need to say anything further. The answer was in his wonderful warm eyes, now filled with sorrow and a deep compassion.
Oh, no,
Kenobi breathed.
Gently, Yoda reached and placed a small hand on Kenobi's.
Vos saw I today. Acknowledged his aid through his unique skill.